At a time in history when there's a great need for services to help people break their addictions to drugs, one of the Rogue Valley's largest providers went through a wobbly year. OnTrack started decades ago and continues to provide many programs, but this year saw an upheaval that resulted in the suspension and eventual dismissal of longtime executive director Rita Sullivan. Some changes in programs were made as well. Things have been quiet at OnTrack for a while now, with a new executive director in place since late September. That is Dr. Alan Ledford, who is in the studio with me now. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the short story, what happened at OnTrack? I mean, or as you understood it, coming in as the new boss?
That's a good question. And mostly I've been saying the same thing. I don't actually have a whole lot of firsthand information about what happened. So I don't really feel qualified to talk about the past a whole lot. What I can say is that DHS and the Oregon Health Authority came in and they found things that needed to be corrected, and we're in the process of doing that. We've made an agreement with the state on how to do that, and we're moving forward.
Did you have any trepidation about applying for the job?
Actually, I didn't, which is interesting. Given my history, I've been an administrator in a hospital, and I've worked in hospital settings where they're Joint Commission accredited, and I felt like it was a good fit.
And so you've been on the job since late September. I know you have the date stamped in your head, September 25th, you told me a few minutes ago.
Correct.
What were your priorities when you walked in the door at OnTrack? I mean, you had to take care of, obviously, concerns inside the agency, but also the public's view of it at the same time.
Well, first thing I did is I asked a lot of questions. The staff, I think, their perception of me and what I heard back was, what's he doing? He's asking a lot of questions, because I wanted to find out what the structure was, what needed to be done overall within the organization. How was it structured? What departments were in place? How were people functioning? What was their understanding of how they should be functioning, of how they fit into the system and into the organization itself, and then went about changing the infrastructure.
So OnTrack is obviously not the only provider of addiction treatment services. Are you the largest? I hear by several measures that is true.
We serve about 600 clients throughout our system, and we have about 145 employees, as well as having housing and other services. So I don't know if we're the largest or not. I don't know if that's a measure of, I know in some ways it's a measure of success, but I tend to view success as how are we doing by our clients. How are our clients measuring us? And that's the goal for us, is to have, at this point, is to have really outstanding customer satisfaction and get the organization to the point where it can have that.
How different is running a place like OnTrack from some of the places you've run before? You talked about running a hospital before, but this is multifaceted. You're dealing with people in addiction services. You have some residential, some walk-in, some outpatient. It sounds like a lot of variety in what your services are.
Yeah, in my previous job, which we talked about for a moment, I was the clinical director at Kairos, which is spread throughout western Oregon in five counties, has 225 employees. And at there I was the clinical director, which meant I reported directly to Bob Lieberman, who was the CEO, and he and I worked hand in hand to develop the clinical program and expand the organization, and also bring clinical excellence there through some difficult times.
Yeah, Bob Lieberman's been our guest here quite a few times. Mm-hmm. Back to the days when Kairos was still called the Southern Oregon Adolescent Study and Treatment Center.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
You can tell how long I've been around here.
Yeah.
Dr. Alan Ledford's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director at OnTrack for addiction treatment services in the Rogue Valley. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is OnTrack somewhat reduced? You did have to close a program closed, I think, before you got there, something along those lines?
Correct. Yeah, we had the number of people we're serving has been reduced. The teen program was closed. The teen residential program was closed as part of the agreement with the state of Oregon. Then the stipulated agreement, they gave us 6 months time frame where we could reapply to reopen that program, which is unusual because usually the time frame is 2 years. So there is a great need for that program, which...
That was the next question. Yeah. It sounds like when you lose any addiction program, particularly for people who are just taking drugs early in life, that's probably an important program to have around.
Right. Well, we closed the residential program, but our outpatient programs are still operating. We have outpatient treatment. We have individual, group, and education for teens still. We just don't have a residential program at the current time.
When you talk about walking around and asking questions within OnTrack when you got there, I assume, was that just with workers? Was it with clients as well?
I asked questions from clients. I asked questions from the employees. I asked questions of management. I looked around to see the structure of the organization, how it functioned, who was in what position, what did they do. With a lot of nonprofits, you have people doing multiple tasks that may or may not be within their normal scope of work. So there was a bit of that, which is pretty typical in nonprofits or in for-profit organizations at times.
How do you keep the workers going? How do you keep people to stay motivated at a time when things have been through a fair amount of upheaval already and you're trying to convince them that they're on more stable ground now?
Well, I think what you do is you focus on what you want the future to look like, where we want to go, how do we want to organize ourselves, how do we want to deliver services, what kind of services do we want to deliver, what do the employees see as their strengths, and how do those come to the organization, and what do they do going forward with those, how committed are they to that? We have a lot of folks who've been there for quite some time who are very committed to the organization.
So let's talk about what the organization does in a little more detail here. I mean, how do people come to OnTrack? I mean, how are they referred there? How do they find you to know that you're there and available for services?
Well, there are a number of ways. People come to us through the courts. They come to us through private referral. They come to us sometimes through health plans.
All kinds of different ways that they can try. So either they've been told to go there or they came there voluntarily.
Or voluntarily, which is fairly typical in any organization. You have people and someone says you have to go to protect your job or you have to go to keep from doing jail time or you need to go or, I'm leaving. So there's always somebody out there who will say, You need treatment. Now, what do people do with that? But we have a lot of ways to get in our door.
Is there a particular a cornerstone to the first step in breaking addiction for anybody? Is there one thing upon which all addiction treatment programs seem to rest?
Well, I think the first thing you want to do is to help the person decide, do they want to break the cycle of addiction? Addiction is a really hard... not to crack, for lack of a better term. It's multifaceted, and it's hard for folks to make that decision, and it's hard to keep to that decision a lot because of what happens with the changes within the brain. Genetics play a part, personality plays a part, environment plays a part. So it's very hard, and first thing you want to do is find out, what does somebody want to do? It's like any kind of treatment. You want to ask the person, what do you want to do? What's your goal? And then help them attain that.
So on that basis, how long is an intake interview? I'm curious, because you got to learn a lot in a pretty short amount of time, it seems.
We have, that's a good question, because we've been looking at this question, how long does it really take? And have decided that we would block out a fairly large amount of time for the intake process and assessment. we've blocked out 4 hours now for a person to sit down. I mean, that includes you got to get up, you got to take a break. The person, it's hard for anybody to sit for 4 hours. It's hard for somebody to do that. So you want to engage somebody right away. And some of that is, you know, let's take a break. Let's, you know, walk around the block. Let's do some things. So we want to set aside enough time for somebody to get a thorough look at what's happening in somebody's life so they can start to plan how to help the person.
And once the person acknowledges they want the help, I mean, you mentioned that that's a big first step and a very tough nut to crack. I mean, there's all kinds of programs that report that this is often going to be several tries at recovery. I mean, so how can you, what kind of philosophy can you use in OnTrack or any program for that matter that acknowledges that but doesn't necessarily expect it?
Well, I think the expectation is, you know, I've been at this a long time. I started out originally working in drug and alcohol treatment 33, almost 34 years ago. And the same things apply now as applied then. Treatment has changed. But engagement is really important. And having the expectation that somebody will be able to stay clean and sober, I think is paramount. Not saying to somebody, relapse is an expectation and part of the disease. It is a hallmark of the disease, but somebody doesn't have to do that. You don't, I think you can instill hope with somebody. And also when it happens, is it a learning experience or is it a cry for help that maybe the level of care they're at is not appropriate? Do they need something else? What do we need to, for lack of a better term, wrap around that person to help them achieve their goals? Because ultimately, it's their goal and not ours that's important.
And I was going to ask you about wraparound kinds of services, too, because, I mean, how well can you integrate the things that go on outside of the domain of OnTrack? I mean, to work with people in the home, school, office, whatever, to make sure that there is support in those places as well.
Well, there are a number of things. There's been a movement in mental health and addiction for quite some time to use peer support to manage that. And peer support is an evidence-based practice. From SAMHSA, it recognizes it. Medicare recognizes it as an evidence-based practice. So what we've done is begun to integrate peer support and recovery mentors into the process so that they can help people navigate the system to get the things that they need, whether it's schools, working with schools, when there are kids involved, finding housing, getting into school, finding jobs. Those are all part of things you have to do in recovery. In long-term residential care, that's been a hallmark of how they do services for many, many, many years. I worked in long-term care years ago, and that's what we did. We got people employed. We got them into housing. We got them transportation. We helped them figure out what they needed to do, go back to school so that they can, because it's hard to stay in recovery when you're homeless. It's hard to stay in recovery when you have a lot of what I think of as capacity issues. How do you get food on the table? How do you pay the bills? How do you keep a roof over your head? All of those issues that people think of as social determinants. What's your family like? What are your natural supports like? Those are what you do in long-term residential care, is help somebody figure that out. And what you try to do is help somebody figure that out in an outpatient setting also. Hopefully they're not at the same place that somebody in a residential treatment is. Hopefully there's a difference in the level of care they need and they have some of those supports and a capacity in place.
Dr. Alan Ledford is the executive director of OnTrack, based in Medford, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. When you're looking at the clients you have now, is there a particular drug of choice that seems to be over and above the one that people are going to, or is it still pretty well scattered?
You know, this is an interesting question. I'm going to answer it in a way you're probably not expecting. There are always epidemics of drugs in this country. It seems like the name changes, but the idea that drugs are an epidemic proportion continues to hit us. There are a lot of people we still deal with whose drug of choice is methamphetamine, and we still hear a lot about that being a problem. And then we hear about the opioid epidemic, which has run rampant across the country. In the 1980s, there was a cocaine epidemic. I remember going to work in Oakland, and there was this huge billboard, and it said, typical cocaine addict. And it had a guy in a suit and a tie and a briefcase. And, you know, it's been one drug after another that hits. And we see people who have across the spectrum, alcoholism, addiction to methamphetamine, people who overuse marijuana, people who use heroin and prescription opioids. It's just across the board, and it's an ever-shifting sand, because I think people, you know, generally people like to have an altered state of consciousness. Most people can do that fairly successfully, but those who can't, there's a lot of reasons for that. Like I said, there's how the brain changes, there's genetics, there's personality, there's social support, there's life history, there's your own family history, intergenerational addiction. It's very complicated, and I don't think it's going to go away.
The drugs will change, but the addictions
will change, but the addiction, there'll still be addiction. I think it's part of human culture. It's
two questions in about a minute for them. Is there a sort of a general kind of profile of a client, or do they range the gamut in age and socioeconomic status? All
raise,
that stuff?
Raise it, it, it. There's a huge range of age. You know, from teenagers to seniors that are involved. Socioeconomic status in our system, we tend to not have, you know, higher level socioeconomic status folks seeking treatment. We tend to have a lot of folks who are in the Oregon Health Plan, and you know, are struggling
income,
with you know, their economic status.
And the second question is a couple seconds. Is there stuff you can see OnTrack doing in the future that you're not doing now?
More co-occurring disorder treatment, treating mental health and addiction, because that's if you look at 40% of addicts have mental health disorder, and about 20% of people with diagnosed mental health disorders have addiction.
All right, so it's still to come. More into the future of OnTrack. Dr. Alan Ledford is now the executive director at OnTrack. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Sure.